Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministries. And for those who will be downloading this program as well, we thank you as well. Tonight we have our good guest has agreed to come back and share more of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. Before we begin, let us all pray. Glory to Jesus Christ, we pray for Johnny Embry. Give him the words you wanted to say tonight, so all the listeners will be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray this in the name of Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen. Brother Johnny, I'm going to let you take over.
Okay, man. Well, it's good to be back on here tonight. Do I sound okay? Are you hearing me just fine there, Brother Kelly?
I can hear you just fine, sir.
Good, good. Okay, just wanted to make sure. So it's good to be back out here with you this evening. Appreciate all of the listeners out here on Blog Talk Radio. Brother Kelly there, dear friend of mine. Appreciate him so much. I enjoy going to church with him. We attend Bethel Fellowship Ministries in McDaniels, Kentucky together. Any of you out there, wherever you're at, if you're ever in the Breckinridge County, Grayson County area, look us up. It's Bethel Fellowship Ministries Incorporated. You can call us at 270-257-0726. Again, 270-257-0726. If you're ever in the area, come check us out. I'm just a minister. I'm one of the ministers at the church there. We have our senior pastor, Brother Ron Miller, and then I just happen to be on the ministerial type of staff. I'm one of the ministers there. So that was just to give you an introduction. And to anyone who has not met me before, I've been on here before, but my name is Brother Johnny Embry. I've been in the ministry for since 1993, a number of years. My wife, Tina Marie Embry. I have three lovely daughters and seven beautiful grandchildren. So God has just so blessed me, and I've been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ since 1991. So I just thank the Lord so much. And I will tell you, folks, I've had my ups and I've had my downs, and I have seen times whenever, maybe I wasn't always just following the Lord as I should, but I can honestly tell you that I've always found that altar of true repentance. I've followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Today He is my Lord and Savior. And the first thing I would like to say, we're going to go into 2 Chronicles chapter 26 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, because I've been praying, seeking the Lord about what we wanted to minister on tonight. And I want to talk about be careful lest pride lift you up. Be careful lest pride lift you up. Because, folks, I tell you, we live in a day and age when, when we come to know the Lord Jesus and we begin to live for Him, and we try to follow Him and allow the Holy Spirit to move and operate in us, we're in a day and age in a world it becomes so easy, and let me say it again, so easy to begin to think it's somehow, some way it's us doing it and not God doing it in us. Because we got to remember it's all about Christ in us, the hope of glory. The mystery of the ages has been revealed, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we must understand it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we do anything. There's nothing we can do shy or without the power of the Holy Spirit that will amount to do anything for the building of the kingdom of God, for the building of getting souls saved. So this is what we're going to talk about here just shortly in a little bit. And we're going to examine an interesting character in the Old Testament. I've been doing a little study in the past couple of days about his life, and that is Uzziah. Uzziah was, many of you probably who's ever studied Scripture will know that he was very famous. He was the famous king that died just as Isaiah begins to write. Isaiah chapter 1, it says, in the year King Uzziah died. Now, we're going to be looking at it, but we're actually going to examine Uzziah's life, because many of you out there, if you've ever studied, you may not know that there's quite a bit talked about in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, there's quite a bit told us about King Uzziah. So we're going to look into that, and we're going to see how he started out, how he functioned, what he did. And we're going to look at a point in his life in which he had a terrible, terrible failure. And yet he became such a beloved person of Isaiah and the end of his life. Isaiah really loved this man. We're going to look at that, but we're going to look at a time when he had a terrible failure, and that's what I want to look at, how this could happen even to us. Because remember, in typology, when we study the scriptures, we know that in typology, that whatever happened in the natural in the Old Testament is there for our learning of the spiritual in the New. Let me say that again. Whatever happened under the Old Covenant, and of course you've got Old Testament, New Testament, or as many of you know, I taught a little bit on the last time I was on here with Brother Kelly, but Old Covenant, New Covenant, it really means covenant. The Old Covenant was the covenant of where they offered up sacrifice and offerings in the temple priesthood order of the Old Testament. And by the way, the very failure, let me say that again, the very failure that Uzziah had, he is in the offerings of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, and we're going to look into that, because that's one reason why I chose this as I was praying and seeking God on it, because I want to show you how he had a specific way that he would. Now, he was king, and the priest was supposed to offer sacrifices under the Old Covenant, and how he got lifted up, and he tried to do it himself. In other words, he, if you understand, he tried to please God by doing his own thing and not sticking to scriptural context of what he was commanded to do under the law of Moses, under the Old Covenant. Let me say that again. He did not stick to following the commandments under the law of Moses, under the Old Covenant, and it got him in big, big trouble in a point in time of his life. We're going to look at that. And now, how does that translate? Of course, we're under the new covenant. Of course, yes, we're under the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know nobody was saved under the old covenant except by faith. It was following the old covenant, because Habakkuk chapter 2, now the just shall live by faith, and if any man's soul draw back, I'll have no my soul will have no pleasure in him. And that's, but of course, we know that it was all about faith following old covenant. Now, we're under new covenant, of course, the covenant of salvation through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the convicting power, no man come to the Father, lest the Spirit draw, and that's talking about the Holy Spirit, drawing people to the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. And the Father, no man come to the Father, lest the Spirit draw. And when people are praying, when a group of people is praying, or somebody has prayed, somehow or another, a prayer has gone up for you, some way, shape, form, or fashion, somewhere, a prayer has gone up to you, because now no man come to the Father, lest the Spirit draw. And that means somebody was praying for you. And when somebody's praying for you, the Spirit begins to draw, and you begin to have the convicting power of the Holy Spirit come your way. When some Spirit-filled preacher or some Spirit-filled minister of God, man, woman, whoever it may be, but a Spirit-filled, born-again believer in Christ Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, begins to come your way, whether it's a preacher, whether it's somebody delivering a tract, whether it's somebody, or you may hear it on television. God may just open up where you hear it on television, but somewhere you hear the gospel preached to you, and because the Holy Spirit has made sure you hear that gospel. I'm talking to someone who's not saved. And you hear the gospel, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit begins to fall upon your heart. And through conviction, as you are convicted of your sin, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we look in Romans chapter 10, it says, what saith it? The word is nigh in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith that we preached, that if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and confess with your mouth, believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means confess your sins, ask him to come into your heart, wash away your sins, and you confess that without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through confession and repentance that you would die and go to a devil's hell, an eternal lake of fire. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth, because anyone who has not received Christ as Lord and Savior shall die and go straight to a devil's hell, an eternal lake of fire that burneth forever and forever. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no other way to escape the damnation of hell fire, the eternal lake of fire. There's no escaping it except receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way. I don't care what anybody has ever told you. The only way to heaven and escaping hell is through the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, through believing that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. You believe that he suffered, bled, and died, and rose again for your sins after hearing the gospel preached, and you fall under conviction. You believe you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You ask him to forgive you, wash away your sins. You confess to him you are a sinner on your way straight to hell without him. You ask him to forgive you, wash away your sins. And as many, and 1 John 1:12, to as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. And you ask him to come into your heart, be your own personal Savior. You ask him to wash away every known sin in your life, and you receive him, and you ask and you receive him. You say, I receive you, Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, and you ask him to come into your heart, and you believe this by faith. If you believe this absolutely by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, your sins shall and will be forgiven. You will become born again by faith in the Christ Jesus, according to the Word of God. You receive Christ. You ask him to come into your heart. You receive him. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you witness, because it said his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. You pass from death unto life, and you pass from going straight to hell to going to heaven, and you become born again. Something changes in your heart. You receive Christ, you become regenerated by the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. You become regenerated, and the Holy Ghost regenerates you. You become born again, and you know. Now, I don't have to tell you, Brother Kelly don't have to tell you. Nobody has to tell you. You will know that you know, because his Spirit will bear witness. You have become born again, and you'll become a citizen of the kingdom of God, a resident of the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, in the spirit realm. You become born again. Now, Brother Kelly, I'm just following the Holy Spirit. I know we're actually doing this at the beginning. I'm just following the Holy Spirit, because somebody out there needed to hear what I just said. Now, we will have a prayer and pray for you at the end of this broadcast. But now, currently, I want to, with that all said and done, I'm going to be praying the convicting power fall upon your heart, or maybe you're a backslider. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm just not one. I do not believe once saved, always saved. I believe that if you become enlightened in the truth of the Holy Spirit, you become enlightened of the truth through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says, those that have won, if we have become once enlightened, if we fall away till we fall away, in other words, if we fall away, to renew us again unto repentance, seeing that we crucify the Son of Man afresh and do despite to the Spirit of grace. Later on in another scripture, it says that there's a warning there in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, you can find this through Hebrews chapter 6 through Hebrews chapter 10. And we also know that Peter says that if we've come to know him and we reject the Holy Scriptures delivered unto us, it would have been better to have never known him than to turn away from holy commandments delivered unto us. But it happened unto a true proverb, a dog to its own vomit, a sow to its own mirth. He said the latter end is worse than the beginning. It would have been better to have never turned away from holy commandments delivered unto you. So I'm just telling you, folks, now this is one of the most debated things among born-again believers. I will simply say this. The Bible simply states it would have been better to have never known him. I know the book of Revelations, in the first seven chapters of the book of Revelations, we find Jesus, actually first four chapters actually, and we find Jesus talking to the seven churches. And many of those churches, Jesus had a rebuke for each, for many of them. There was only one, the church of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia love, in which he did not rebuke. But six of those churches, he had strong rebukes for it. Now, this was born-again believers, folks. Let me say this again. Born again through the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ believers. And he warned that he had somewhat against them, and he said, repent. The word repent means to change the course of direction in which you are traveling. Repent don't mean that I say a prayer, ask Jesus to come in and keep on living the way I am. It doesn't mean that I say a prayer and say I'm saved and I keep on living just the way I was before. That's not repentance. The word repentance in the Bible literally means to change course and direction. And it simply means this. If I use the original Greek term translated repentance, that would mean that if I said that I was driving down a road in a north direction, and I chose and I realized I needed to turn off of north and go in a southerly or south direction, that literally means I would find an exit, I would turn off that exit, I would make a loop around, and I would get back on the direction of south. That means I repented of going north, and I started going south. It literally means to change the direction you're going, folks. So being born again means you change. You become a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have been made new in Christ Jesus. The old man is dead. That's why we become baptized. That's why we must move on in an act of obedience in water baptism. Brother Kelly, I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to get to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is moving this way, so I'm going to go on this way. I didn't even plan this. The Holy Spirit did this to me. So anyway, but folks, I want to tell you, behold, old things have passed away. All things have been made new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you must understand true repentance means that you have become buried in baptism with him in a spiritual sense. Now, I do not believe, by no means, I don't believe water baptism saves you. I believe it's your first act of obedience when you become born again. And I believe if you have a problem being water baptized, folks, I believe something, I personally don't believe someone's ever really had a real move of the Holy Spirit. I don't think they've ever had the witness of the Holy Spirit if they refuse to be buried in water baptism, because whenever we get water baptized with the Lord Jesus Christ up on receiving salvation and the witness of the Holy Spirit in our heart, this is the first true act of obedience of sanctification, because we must become sanctified people in Christ Jesus, folks, because the whole goal for a Christian is to be sanctified. That means to be set apart for a godly purpose. The whole goal of a born-again believer is to be changed from glory to glory in the express image of Christ. Paul says, therefore, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live is not my own. We go on and read the book of Corinthians where it talks about sanctification, moving on, being sanctified daily. Daily, it's a daily sanctification process through prayer and seeking the Lord on a daily basis. We must do this daily. We are being sanctified in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we're being transformed from glory to glory in the express image of Christ on a daily basis. And one of the acts of sanctification, first act really, of sanctification is to be buried in baptism. We get buried. There gets to be a lot of dispute on what name you get baptized in. Here's the way I look at it. It says that they went around preaching the gospel. Mark chapter 15, I believe it is, he says, they were preaching the gospel, going baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we also know that in the book of Acts, they were immersing them in the name of the Lord Jesus. So being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized and living and coming up out of, and the old man is in death, burial, with dying. It's a symbolic of the old man or woman dying, and in the resurrection of the newness of life in Christ Jesus when we come up out of the water and we're becoming sanctified, set apart for a godly purpose. And that's what he was telling them over in the book of Revelation. I have somewhat against you, so repent. Repent, change the direction you are going. That means get the transgression, willful disobedience in your life out of your life. Because in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, I was quoting 1 John 1:12 earlier. It says, if we as born again believers, if we walk in darkness, we lie and say we're in the light. We lie and do not the truth. I heard it said, I want to quote Leonard Ravenhill. He's one of my very, very favorites, Leonard Ravenhill. He taught a lot of the people that helped to, like David Wilkerson, Steve Hill, David Wilkerson with Times Square Church, New York City, powerful revivals. He taught people like Steve Hill, the Pensacola, Florida revival. He was a trainer of many people. And one of the statements that he made is he talks about how people claim that they don't even, you know, they claim that they don't know if they're born again or not. Some people say, well, I don't know. I guess I'm born again. I don't know. And he says he don't believe that for a minute, because the Bible says that when we're born again, we're enlightened or illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Folks, it's simple. We use a physical analogy to teach a spiritual experience. Well, here's the absolute reality of what I'm saying. If you've been born again, you once sat in darkness. It's like being in a dark room with no light whatsoever. Well, folks, if somebody walks in that room and turns on the light, you know what? You just came into the light. You can't say, well, I don't know if somebody turned the light on. I mean, if you are visually not impaired, I think that's what's wrong with most of the church world. I think we're visually impaired spiritually. I really do, by sin and transgression and willful disobedience to God's word. I think it's a lot of the problem with born-again believers these days. But if you're sitting in a dark room and somebody turns the light on, if you're not visually impaired, then you know somebody turned the light on. Therefore, you know the light came. So you must understand, to say that, you know, I don't know if I've been born again or not, it's a contradiction of terms. If you've been born again and illuminated the Holy Spirit, you know it, because people who once sat in darkness have seen a great light. You can't walk in willful disobedience to God's word and say you're in the light, because the Bible says that if we do not the truth of God's word and obey his word and his Holy Spirit, we are sitting in darkness. It says we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, which means we don't disobey his word willfully, not talking about where you make a mistake, I'm talking about willfully, conscientiously making a decision on a daily basis to follow disobedience to God's word and live in sin, knowing good and well the Bible says don't do it, and you consciously do it anyway, he says we lie and do not the truth. But he said if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, then we truly, our fellowship is truly with the Son of God, that and our joy will be full. But if, and it says, if we say we have no sin, meaning this in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, or the word actually translates transgression, it means if we're really claiming to be in light, we're living in willful disobedience to the word, which says is really walking in darkness, and we claim that we've done nothing wrong, that we're okay. We lie and do not the truth. He says, but if we will confess our willful disobedience to his word, transgression, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me say that again. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, folks, if you're in a backslidden state listening out there today, and you know there's transgression in your life, I mean, now, this moment, or before we go off there, I'm going to say a prayer in closing, because we're going to get to King Uzziah here just shortly, and that's where we're going now. But I wanted to spend this time in getting people to understand the importance of the New Testament, New Covenant believer in Christ, how important it is. Now, with that said, let's go now to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I want to begin reading. We're going to read some scripture here. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eph and restored it to Judah. And after that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jehuliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he saw, now I want you to listen to this closely, folks. We're in reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who was understanding in the visions of God. Now notice it's Zechariah. So you want to understand the prophet Zechariah. He lived in the days of the prophet Zechariah, and who had understandings in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, there's a very, that's a preaching within itself, though we're not going to deal with that on this broadcast. But it said, God, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That meant he sought out God. He kept covenants. He obeyed the word of God. He kept the covenant of Moses in those days, and that was the offerings of sacrifices looking to Christ Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah. And remember, nobody under the law was ever saved by any sacrifice they ever made. They were saved, according to Habakkuk chapter 2, the just shall live by faith. They were saved by their faith in that every sacrifice they offered in the tabernacle of Moses of those days was looking to Messiah who would die on the cross. And you can find that because the prophecy of Messiah dying on the cross is in Psalms 22. David saw Messiah and he said, they pierced my hands, they pierced my feet, my heart burst within me. A clear description of how Messiah would die 400 years before crucifixion was even instituted, before it was even known or ever even history of. So we know they were looking to Messiah. So remember, people under the covenant of Moses was saved by faith in Messiah looking to the cross. People who are saved, such as you and myself today, are looking back at the cross to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but as long as he kept that covenant, offered up the sacrifices according to the law of Moses, looking to Messiah to come, God would make him to prosper. And he went forth, verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Janith and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. Notice, he was involved in war. This speaks of the spiritual warfare, and he was winning. It speaks of us today, only today we fight a spiritual warfare. But as long as he sought the Lord and kept covenant, he was winning. Look here, he was taking these cities. In other words, he was taking ground held by the enemy. Now, remember, whatever was in the natural and the old speaks to us in the spiritual and the new. So whatever Christian that I'm talking to out there, if you're involved in a lot of spiritual warfare and you're losing ground and you're not winning, it's important to check your life and see if maybe there's willful disobedience to God's word or a lack of faith, which is still disobedience. Because a lack of faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, there's a scripture that says no faith is sin before God. We must believe God is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you're having trouble and you're failing and you're not winning these battles, check your spirituality out. Now, back to verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines. Look at this. Remember, God made him to prosper as long as he sought the Lord. And he said, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians and dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mahinums and the Ammonites gave gifts to us. Look at that. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzzah, King Uzzah. So look at that. God began to make him prosper, and other people was giving him gifts. That means the blessing of God began to come up on him. Not only was God was prospering, he was growing, maturing, and God began to bless him. His needs was being met. So we see how God was blessing him here. And his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened him exceedingly. God strengthened Uzzah exceedingly. Wow, did you see that, folks? Did you catch what I just read? God strengthened Uzzah. I mean, he gave him strength exceedingly. You see, when you are crying out in repentance before God on a daily basis, making sure you're not living in willful disobedience to God's word, making sure you're seeking God's face on a daily basis, God will strengthen you. There's not a devil in hell. There's no enemy can stand against you. Look over. Moreover, Uzzah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner of the gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. He began to build the walls around his people. See, Jerusalem was the city that was the base of his kingship. So he began to be, God enabled him to build a wall of protection around his people. Folks, that's a very important thing. We need to remember, we as spiritual people living righteous and holy and undefiled and sanctified before God, our prayers will begin to build a wall of protection around our home and our family and our people and our church. And it comes to sanctification and obedience to God's word when God makes us to prosper. We can begin to build that wall of protection around our own people. And then he fortified them, and he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. Now, folks, you got, I want to look at this. Well, let's read this in verse 10. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 10. He built towers in the desert, and he digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains. It's farmers, by the way. A husbandman, that is a biblical word for farmers. He had husbandmen or farmers also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and camels. He loved husbandry, and that literally means he loved the farming life. So Uzzah was he was a lover of that husbandry actually translates the farmers, the people who did the farming life. So he loved the farming life, folks. And now I want you to look at this, how he digged many wells. I mean, that means he began to create a lifestyle for many people that become wells of living water, wells of living water. Isn't that interesting? So Uzzah sought the Lord. He made him to prosper, and he began to create wells of living water for other people. The, folks, I want to tell you tonight, we as born-again spiritual people, whenever we are crying repentance before God on behalf of other people, folks, we're living righteous and holy and sanctified before God, we can help to create situations in our life, in our family's life, in our church's life, in which there will be rivers and wells of living water beginning to flow that people can begin to tap into the spiritual realm. Folks, we can begin to help. They can begin to see them and help to open the door for other people. Because look how God blessed him in this matter. Now, verse 11. Moreover, Uzzah had and host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their accounts, by the hand of Jeruah, the scribe, and Manasseh, the ruler, and under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the whole number of the chief of the fathers and of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 3,000 and 7,500, that made war with the mighty power to help the king against his enemy. Do you see that? Folks, do you catch that revelation? Any of you catch what I just read? 2 Chronicles 26, verse 13. God enabled Uzzah, who obeyed him as king. Now remember, in typology, Uzzah here in typology would be above the king. Jesus, in the new context of the New Testament, Jesus is our King Jesus. Remember that. And we are that husbandry. We are those farmers. We are the ones. He is the husbandry. He is the one who blesses the. I mean, he is the one that we work for. He is our king. So when we're working under Jesus, our king, in the spiritual realm, look what happens in the spiritual realm. God enabled Uzziah to make war with, he made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. He gave him plenty to help him to war in this, against his enemies, folks. When we make Jesus our Lord, Savior, and King, we are kings and princesses. We are a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We are kings and priests of the Most High God mentioned in the book of Revelation. Under the King, our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we would just learn in the spiritual sense, we see in the natural here in Chronicles, that in the spiritual realm, when we begin to obey the King Jesus, he will give us power to make war with our enemies, and we will have power and help from our King Jesus to overcome every enemy coming against us, every enemy that's coming to rob us of our family and destroy and kill our children, every enemy that's coming against us to take away our prosperity and our blessings, every enemy that comes against us to take away our job, and these different things are to rob us of our faith. Folks, if we will just remember to stay sold out to King Jesus, so because remember what he said, as long as Uzzah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper, and he was the king, and he made his people to prosper. We, too, must remember that. Now, let's keep on going down here in verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. Oh, did y'all see that? And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be put on the towers on the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, I want you to understand what this is talking about. you'd have to go back and do a little research on this. And what this was referring to was here in 2 Chronicles 26:15, that he made engines. God gave him revelation to create a type. They call it an engine, but what it was a thing that was, and he helped to invent, that would throw arrows, throw rocks. It was a thing that would spring, and it would throw these things against the enemies. In other words, it was a weapon of war that made them more powerful against their enemies. God gave him insight. He gave him the vision. He made him to have vision and understanding. He gave him great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, if we will stay true to him, will give us great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to overcome our enemies at war against our soul. And he gave him the ability to have an engine or an ingenuity to overcome his enemies. He showed his Uzzah how to teach, to get these men to build great weapons of war to overcome their enemies so they wouldn't destroy Jerusalem. And it said that by this, because it would help them to, and by the way, it also, there was body bows and body cover. God gave him, that's back in verse 14, gave him the ability to teach and show him how to cover, to clothe all of the people who was underneath him and his armies. He gave them a covering. Oh, wow, isn't that interesting? Now, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day, doing all you do to stand, having the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girdled about of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and above all, the shield of faith. Remember, there's the shield of faith, and above all, the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. Therefore, be ye clothed with the armor of God. Isn't that just interesting? God gave us the ability to clothe the people who worked underneath him and fought for him, how to overcome and win against the enemy. God, today, our King Jesus, in the New Testament context, Ephesians chapter 5, tells us how to be properly clothed. There is a key to it. We must be properly clothed. We have to have on the right garments for battle, because folks, we are in a Christian army and we must be properly clothed for battle, folks. And that means we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, lean not to our own understanding, but in all our way acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. You see, God gave it to King Uzzah, so also will he give it to us in the New Testament context under the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on to say, actually, until he was strong. Now, I told you I was going to show you something here. I want to show you what happened for a period of time in Uzzah. God had so blessed him. Uzzah was blessed beyond measure. He had this. He was a powerful king. God had given visions, revelations. He loved the husbandry. He had made the food to prosper. They had prospered against their enemies. They had become powerful. It was one of the most powerful kingdoms around. Jerusalem had prospered in those days. But guess what happened? I want to show y'all something. It was happening. Now, folks, I want you to get something that I saw in this. What Uzziah, King Uzzah, what he messed up in, it was in the covenant of Moses on how he was to properly offer up sacrifice and how he was to properly obey the Word of God. It was about his obedience to the Word of God, obeying. Now, there are many people today, you know, Brother Kelly, I hear people all the time tell me, oh, what we do doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, I'm born again. You know, it doesn't matter. But, folks, I'm going to tell you, you're justified by your works, or you are condemned by your works. Now, you're not saved through your works, but you're either justified by your works or you are condemned by your works. And, by the way, obeying, learned I obedience to the things I suffered. Christians must obey the Word of God. The key thing is learn thy obedience. Learn thy obedience. The writer of Hebrews was quoting that. Learn thy obedience. Learn thy obedience. We must understand that obedience to living to God's Word is very important. Now, what we're about to read, you're going to see how Uzzah had it all. God had made him to prosper, but look what happened. In verse 16, 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. pride came to set in. His heart began to lift it up. Other words, he began to look at his own righteousness. You must understand, this really was more about his own righteousness. Be very careful to catch what I'm saying. He began to think it was his own righteousness that was doing it, his own abilities, his own himself. And he began to believe it was all about him and not all about the God of Israel. Now, we're going to give the New Testament counterpart when we get through reading this in the book of James here in a little bit. But I want you to understand Uzziah here began to believe it was himself. It said he was lifted up to his own destruction. For he transgressed, and that means he sinned against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. Now, you must understand, now this is something you have to understand in the law of Moses. I don't have the scriptures in front of me here, but if you study in the book of Exodus, beginning at Exodus 25 and verse 8, God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle. And to show all the and to create the tabernacle with all the furnishings. There was the gate to be surrounded. Then you had the outer court, inner court, holiest of holies. You had the outer court burnt offering in which the common man would come in and they would offer up five major offerings: burnt offering, faith offering, peace offering, trespass offering, atonement offerings. Then you had the priest that was assigned that would do the rest of the work, and they would go into the holy place. You had the golden lampstand, then which gave the light to the holy place. You had the laver. Actually, I believe the labor was in the outer court because you had that. The labor was out next to, I need to correct that. The labor was out, the brazen altar judgment, and there was the labor. The priest would wash themselves at the labor. Then you enter into the holy place, the inner court, or the holy place. You would have the golden lampstand. Then you had the table of showbread, the priestly bread, that the ministering priest along with the great high priest would eat off of. Then you had the lampstand, the mishka, or the lampstand, I believe I'm pronouncing it right. And then you had the golden altar of incense that they would offer up incense upon. Then the high priest once a year would enter into the holiest of holies through the veil. Into the holiest of holies, with the mercy seat, where there was the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's rod, but the books of law, the pot of man, and all the things existed inside of the holiest of holies. You had the tabernacle design. Now, in the days of Uzziah here, in those days, the priests were the only ones who were actually allowed to offer these types of sacrifices. They were the only ones allowed to. Underneath the covenant of the Old Testament, in those days of that covenant, they were the only ones allowed. The priest, the king, King Uzziah, he was not allowed to go in and offer up these offerings. He himself would be the only one that would be allowed to offer up the offering. I'm sorry, the only offering he'd be allowed was for himself at the brazen altar, for himself. He would be allowed to offer no other offerings but for his own transgression at the brazen altar. Now, only the priests would been allowed to offer up any other offerings. He, even though he was king, he was not allowed to. But what happened, he began to think he had this power. He began to think that he could interpret Scripture his own way and interpret it and create his own doctrine. It's a religious type of thing. So he created his own doctrine in his own mind that he didn't have no need of the high priest, and that law of Moses didn't really matter. And those scriptures, now, why would this translate to us today? It's like when we get in our mind that the Bible doesn't really matter, we can kind of create our own doctrine just because it might not totally fit what the Bible actually says. That really doesn't matter. Well, see, that's the idea that he got, that in those days, the scriptures, according to the law of Moses, didn't matter in his mind. He created his own religious doctrine, and he was going to go on and offer up because he got it in his head that it was all about him. Now, look what happened. And it says in verse 18, "And they withstood you, Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, It is apparent, it apprehendeth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, they are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord." Now listen, the priest, which is the holy, it would have been the if you will, the Holy Ghost preachers of his day, if you will. Now, I mean, I know it's the Old Testament, but still, they were the ones who were sanctified. Notice it says, let me read this again. They began to warn him in verse 18. It says, and they withstood us of the king. It's talking about the priests. And they said unto him, it apprehendeth not to thee. In other words, you don't have a right. This is not your calling. You're stepping out of your calling. You're the king, but the king is not under the law of Moses allowed to come in here. Only the sanctified priest, because he said, it's not unto thee, but to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated. In other words, they have a process in which they had to be sanctified, ordained, and they had to be in a type of repentance, cleansed, and they had to follow the word exactly, and only them who had done, who was part of their calling, done what they were supposed to, would be allowed to. He said, and they told him, says, go out, get out of here. You are transgressing. Now remember, he was the king. God had been blessing. In other words, you're breaking God's laws, and it matters. Get out of here, repent, and change your ways before you bring the judgment of God upon you. For thou hast transgressed, neither it is for thine honor from the Lord. Now look at here. Now this right here, you see he had created, Uzziah here had created his own religious ideas. He had his own little religious doctrine. That, now, folks, you got to understand, we read this like it happened in a few minutes. I suggest to you that probably we're reading a, remember, he reigned 52 years, okay, folks? He was king for 52 years, started when he was 16. So this probably came about over a very long period of time. He probably had reached a point, now I'm kind of paraphrasing, but still, in other words, he got to the point where he probably didn't really agree much with the law of Moses anymore. I don't have to suspect it, whatnot, because he totally did not listen to these priests. So I suspect that he was in disagreement with his church leadership. He was in disagreement with his pastor. He was in disagreement with those that was over him in the Lord. And so he created his own religious doctrine. He came up with his own thought process, and he convinced himself that God was blessed him because it said, it is not thine honor from the Lord. It means God did not ordain you to do such a thing. God didn't give you the right to create your own religious doctrine here, and you're trespassing. Be careful what you do. So he came face to face with being presented with that he was wrong in a religious order, but it was not ordained of God. And look what happened to him in verse 19. Then Uzziah, and Uzzah was wroth. That means he was angry, and he had a censer in his hand. That means he took basically what we would call the word of God in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, it's, in other words, he had the censer in his hand. Here's what he did. I'm not going to listen to you guys. You all don't have it right. I know I've heard from God. It don't matter what that word says. It don't matter about following the word of God. I got my own religious order. And see, the censer means he began to pray. Okay? Because he had the censer in his hand to burn incense. Incense was about offering up sacrifice. That was prayer underneath the Old Testament. So he began to pray thinking he was okay. All right? So he totally ignores. He begins to pray thinking he's all right. And he's been warned that just because he thinks he's right does not make him right. He's disobeying the word of God. Folks, hear me. He was warned. I want to say it again. He was warned that just because he thinks he's right, just because he's come up with his own doctrinal teaching, he is disobeying the word of God, so it doesn't mean that his prayer is going to get him anything from God. And it says, while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose upon his forehead before the priest and the God in the house of the Lord from beside the altar. Leprosy, death, that is the judgment of God fell upon him, and leprosy was the most hideous. There couldn't be anything worse happen to you except struck dead is to have leprosy. Leprosy was the worst possible thing that could have ever happened to you in those days. There was nothing other than just struck dead, straight dead, like Aaron's two sons were. And the only other thing that's worse is be struck with leprosy. It means the judgment of God immediately fell on his religious doctrine. It was disobeying the word of God. And Athariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him and beheld, and he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from hence. Yea, he himself hasted to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in several houses. That means an infirmity. From that day forward, he was never able to ever honestly prosper among his people. As king, he was never able to go out among his people anymore. You see, to be struck with leprosy in those days, you were unclean. And you were not allowed to go among the people. You had to stay. You had to be in a certain quarantine house. And you were never allowed to be around or go around the people anymore. The judgment of God was very severe. God didn't take his life, but God severely judged his religious order. And he lost his standing with God. He lost his place with God as far as being blessed. And it goes on, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in several houses, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, meaning he was cut off from the presence of God. Didn't necessarily mean he lost and died and going to hell, but he was cut off from the presence of God, the blessings of God, the prosperity of God, the moving of God. He was cut off. And Jotham and his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the sons of Amazon, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belongeth to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Johan, his son, reigned in his stead. Now those of you that's ever read this, we're going to get ready to wind down soon. But I want to go to the book of Isaiah, and now maybe you might better have more of an understanding. See, he was a great guy up until he did this. Now maybe you understand the heart of Isaiah when he says in Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the day Uzziah, Jonathan, Asa, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now he goes on. Remember, let's see. Let me see. I was looking down. I was looking for a particular verse of Scripture here. Let's just go ahead and read this real quick, because I know our time. So let me go ahead and read this real quick. He goes on to talk here, because he says, that in that year, O heaven had brought forth sinful nation laden with sin. The ox, let's just go ahead and read it here. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken it. I have nursed and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and he asks his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. This is the backslidden state that the nation of Israel got into at this time. And it shows you that what had happened to King Uzziah as a leader had also happened to the very people of his own nation. Look what really came out. You see, he didn't do this all by himself. He just didn't come about all by himself. Sin never really comes about just all by yourself. It always comes about, and it always ends up, especially when it affects a lot of people, will always end up affecting the nation. And he goes on to say how the sinful nation of people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they have gone away backwards. Now listen, if this I got a revelation out of this. I want to show you. Remember, King Uzziah was struck with leprosy, which is putrefying sores and death, okay? And he remained a leper until the day he died. Now, I want to give you something here that might be a revelation to some of you. Listen to what Isaiah says, and now you'll better understand why he wrote this. He says, why would you be, he goes on to say, children are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. Look here at verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Neither have they not been closed, that means healed. They have not been healed, neither have they been bound up or mollified with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion has left a cottage in a vineyard, and a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, a besieged city. Except the Lord had left us a very small remnant, we should all have been as Sodom, and we should all have been likened unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Now listen, think about this. Remember, this is what, and I know our time's almost gone, so I'm going to wind down here and get this over here very quickly. But look what he says here. He says, to what is the purpose of the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and of wrath and of the feed of the feed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bull and goats or the lambs and goats. And then he says in verse 13, he said, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Now, do you know why he saw this happen with Uzziah? When Uzziah, King Uzziah's incense was an abomination, and he was struck with leprosy. Why do you think he said that the incense is an abomination unto me? Away unto me, the new moon and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. It is iniquity, even in the solemn assemblies. You see, the offerings had simply become something God would no longer accept. Now, our time's gone, so I'm going to read where that he had warned about it. He says here in verse 16 of Isaiah 1, wash yourselves, make you clean, put away your evil doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Shall your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you'll be willing and obedient, Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the word of the Lord has spoken it. See, he was coming off seeing what happened with King Uzziah when he wrote that. Does that give you any better understanding why he warned it? Now, let's go to the New Testament context as we close. James, the book of James, I want to read this as we close. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, New Testament. For whence cometh wars and fightings among you, even they not hence, even of your lust, to start a born-again Christians. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it up on your own lust. This is written to born-again Christians. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit dwells in us, lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give more grace unto the humble. You see, when you begin to think it's all about you, you become proud, all about your religious order, or all about your own ways. Folks, listen, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, James 4:7, therefore, unto God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I pray you catch what I say. Father, I pray a revelation that backsliders will come to repentance and salvation will come to the lost. All these things we declare and decree in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Kelly, I turn it back to you.
Amen, brother. That was a good spiritual-filled sermon. I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure the people who listened on the air tonight and people who would download this program later on will enjoy it, but you did a blessed job. It was very good, sir.
All right. Well, I tell you, I sought the Lord, and the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And if anybody would like to get in touch with me, they may do so. Any of the Facebookers out there, they can look me up. Just look up Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, space Calvin, C-A-L-V-I-N, space Embry, E-M-B-R-Y. Send me a friend's request. I'll accept it, or call me at 1-270-230-7407. So, Brother Kelly, I guess we will bid you good night. Can you hear me?
Thank you, Johnny, for calling in. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties we just had a few moments ago. My phone I was using ran out of energy, so I had to call back in. I hope that you all heard the number that Brother Johnny was giving you to call. The number he gave at is 270-230-7407 if you wish to call him and talk about your salvation, if you were touched by what he had said this evening and that you want to know the Lord more. Brother Johnny Embry is more than willing to talk to you all and discuss more about the Lord with you to help bring you over to Christ Jesus. And you know what? Why don't we have Brother Johnny, as much time as we can, come on the show every Tuesday night and give us a lesson. What do you think? I think so. I think that the Holy Spirit moves with Johnny Embry, and I do believe that the Lord led him to give us this awesome sermon that he gave us tonight. My friends, time, let us, I say, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all's lives. And until we meet again, my friends, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.